Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and guest co-host JD of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan. This week, we welcome a special guest, Deacon Millett of FourAltars.com in the high desert of California, bringing us today's topic on socks and washcloth spells. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo conjure root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We're going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and JD. Miss Cat?
Hi, I just made it in. Whew, I was rushing. I felt like Orson Welles when he used to play the shadow on radio, but he also had a theatrical stage performance every day, and he was only a few blocks away from where the radio station broadcast, but he couldn't walk it fast enough. He had to get a taxi, and they had beautiful intro music, sort of organ, Wurlitzer organ music, sort of spooky, you know, the shadow theme, and there's one famous shadow show where they just keep on playing the organ, and they keep on playing the organ, and you can actually hear him running in, and they're holding the door, and they slam the door, and he comes in and goes, "Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?" It's just, it's very funny. It's the most famous late entrance in radio. So I almost was that bad. All right, so here I am. Things are going very well at Lucky Mojo. I've been having a lot of fun collecting material for, spell material, writing it down. I've been working hard on my Patreon pages, and so this is going to go, some of what we're going to talk about tonight will be coming soon, in fact, tonight before midnight, to a Patreon page near you. Now, y'all on the radio can hear some of it as I go through it, but also patrons can have access to all of it as it's printed out, and the public will get it 1 year from now. So it's always nice to be a patron of mine. Conjure Man is not here because he's off, and JD is taking his place, for which we thank JD greatly. And I don't yet have the winners for the contest, so I'm afraid I can't announce that yet, because Deacon Millett, hard to get on the line. We think we've got him. So look for the contest winners to be announced later. And, I think all that's happening here is an awful lot of azaleas in bloom. And I've been, you know me, making devil shoestrings and goofer dust again. It's my full-time occupation around these parts. And I guess that's all. Lots of thanks to Nagashiva today. He really helped me out getting my stuff together. Reverend James says, same. Our cucumber tree is blooming. And Doc Murphy in the chat said it's finally spring in Minnesota. Ah. And it's springtime in Alaska, I'm sure. and it's springtime in the Rockies.
That's right.
And it's, oh, to be in England now that April's there. All right. JD says he's not so sure. Well, let me bring in JD. How are you doing today, JD?
Hi, Ms. Kat. I'm doing great. Glad to be here again, as always. I can't say we have spring yet. We get 60, and then we dropped down to 30. So we haven't made our mind up here in Michigan. We're not sure yet.
Ah, I see. All right. And I hear Shiva running down the stairs. God knows he's probably trying to print out the winner's list, but we'll get to it later. So what kind of work have you been doing lately, JD? Love work, money work? Do you have clients who have a specialty that they need now, or are you just freelancing it for everybody?
I've been working with some clients, particularly on a lot of on crossing work. It's been very popular right now. I think a lot of people, particularly with Mercury retrograde, have been reaching out for help with dealing with the wild ways of Mercury retrograde and how it can cause havoc in your life and career, and helping people navigate those paths. So that's really been the bulk of the work I've been doing, actually. Plants out here, we don't plant anything. The saying out here with the farmers is don't plant before Mother's Day. So we're all just barely waiting until Mother's Day so we can start our wonderful garden. Got lots of ideas, just waiting for the Mother's Day, because we can
it's
get frost well. I'm sorry.
It's so funny. When I lived in Missouri, it was St. Patrick's Day. Everyone has a day, you know?
Yeah.
Out here in California, we can plant something almost all the time. Not always. Well, Mother's Day, that's a long time to wait. Oh, and here comes Nagashiva with the announcement. All right, let's do this quick before we bring in Deacon Millett. Last week's winner for Hoodoo Psychics was Justin Rodriguez. Justin Rodriguez has won a $60 free reading at Hoodoo Psychics. Go to Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page and follow the rules to claim your winnings, Justin Rodriguez. We also have one winner for the Lucky Mojo Facebook Fridays. And this is, oh boy. Well, let's just say his name is Stan. Stan
Zopek.
Chopek? Chopek?
Could be. Kopek? Chopek. That's
Kozopek?
Good.
It's Czech. And so it's probably Chopek or maybe Kozopek or Kopek. Anyway, C-Z-O-P-E-K. I love those Czech names. He won the Candle Service Combo Package, which consists of the Art of Hoodoo Candle Magic book by me with Mikhail Strabo and the Guiding Light to Power and Success book by Mikhail Strabo and me. We get along real well, especially since Mikhail Strabo has joined the Angels and he doesn't talk back when I edit him. Plus, he has also won a free candle service from candleministry.org at Missionary Announced. I mean, this will be told to him, and he will be able to order a free vigil light and state his own petition, wish, or desire. It'll be labeled, fixed, and dressed according to his desires on his behalf intended on our altars. And then one of our dedicated candle deacons will read the signs left in the glass and email him a candle report detailing how it looked and what it meant. So he can have any candle he wants.
That's right.
Plus these two books, and he can learn how to do candles at home. All right. That's our winner. Thanks for indulging me, Deacon Millett. I could hear you laughing in the background.
That's right. We've got him on the line.
Welcome to the show, Deacon Millett. Tell us what's new with you.
Just a little mini Mercury retrograde panic there, but it all worked out. Everything's going along great here. We're doing tons of candles. This Uranus-Jupiter conjunction has just made the world kind of crazy, and I'm just busy trying to help as many clients as possible with that. And that's really the big news around here.
Yeah, you know, that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, back when Uranus first entered Taurus, Contraman, who's a Taurus, and I had a little meeting of the minds, and I wrote an article about what it would be like and what would happen with Uranus and Taurus. But I also noted at the time that eventually, after a few years of chuggling through there, 7 years or so, it would hit my Sun and my Mercury, and it has done so. And So Uranus is hit my Sun and my Mercury, and then Jupiter just kind of joined the party. And it's been a lot of fun for me, actually, because I was born with Jupiter opposed to my Sun, so kind of born into poverty. And now all of a sudden they're having a party on me. So
wow.
I'm doing pretty well, very happy with the conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus on my Sun. So not liking Mercury retrograde, just living through that. But so today our topic is socks and washcloths in hoodoo. So this takes us back to the older forms of hoodoo. I don't think we're going to probably even mention many candles in this show. We're going to talk about how people use socks and washcloths. So these are personal concerns of the body. I'm going to give a little introduction, be Deacon Millett loose on this, and then I'll be joining him, and JD will be joining him. And we have a ton of spells to get to you. So be sure to, you know, take notes. There also will be a chat archive, and some of these will be available in the archive. And as I said, I'll be doing a whole page on socks for my patrons tonight. So socks are a personal concern when they've been worn. These are not new socks you buy at the store. These are not socks that you did the laundry on. However, you can do the laundry with some sort of bath crystals to influence the socks. In other words, wear socks for money, wear socks for love, and so forth. But when we're talking about contact magic, or the oldest level of hoodoo, we're talking about getting someone's dirty socks and working with them. And with washcloths, the same is true. Most people will use a terry cloth washcloth more than once. They may launder it once a week. Very few people will use a washcloth once and throw it in the hamper. But if they do, it'll have their stuff on it. Or you can take it off the little towel bar where it's been set to dry, and you can use it because that person washed themselves with it. So they have got their essence on it. So the spells that are done with socks and washcloths are very intimate, but they're not all for love. They can be curses, and they can be other kinds of things to help, and for friendship, and for money. So having said that, I'm going to turn this over to Deacon Millett. Tell us what you know about socks and washcloths. We'll join in.
Well, I know several things. One is that I often, when I'm instructing new clients, I will substitute a sock instead of a foot track, because it's something that people can understand much easier. And I can just say, take a dirty sock, and you get it. And I don't have to go into so many details. One thing I notice in Hyatt is the number
wait,
of...
Wait, back up. We have a rule here. We don't notice things in Hyatt. First, we have to say Harry Middleton Hyatt, who he was, and where and who he learned these spells from. So give us that little bridge, that gap there, because we have new listeners all the time.
That's very true. Harry Hyatt is a folklore historian who took down first-person accounts, many thousands of them, from root workers in the South, and took copious recordings and then turned those into 5-volume set of books. And it's called Hoodoo Conjuration, Witchcraft, Rootwork. And these books are just an amazing resource. I mean, you can't believe the amount of things that would probably be lost to us today if he hadn't had such a compelling interest in the topic of African-American folk magic. When I refer to in Hyatt, that is what I mean, something that has been found from looking through these thousand-page volumes of folklore notes.
Right. So I'm going to just add one little note. Yeah, that was good enough. I'm going to add one little note. There were 1,605 African-American informants, and he did record all of their names, following in the footsteps of a guy named Nobel Niles Puckett, who was also a folklorist who collected people's names and their folklore. But he, over the years, he never published his material. He lost what was called the numbers book, which had the number of the informant and their name and anything else he knew about them. That book got lost in a move, tragically. And so we now only know his informants by their numbers and where he recorded them and what cylinder he recorded them on. Wax cylinders, what cylinder they were on. When he put the books together, he sorted them out by kind of type of spell, maybe sometimes where he was located at the time. But unsorting them and putting them back in order is difficult because each informant's number will be spread through 5,000 pages of these spells, and you have to kind of go, oh, well, that was number 1574, and he was in New Orleans, or she was in New Orleans, and these are all the spells they gave, and you'll begin to form a picture of who that person was, even if you don't have the name. So I have a webpage called luckymojo.com/hyatt.html, and from that page, there's another page which is linked to it called luckymojo.com/hyattinformants.html. I also have pages on some of the individual informants and informant families. So now I think we've kind of set who that is. Okay, so you were going through Hyatt. Okay,
right,
onward
right.
And upward.
And one thing I noticed in particular is how many spells involve the capturing of a foot track and then the placing of that into the person's dirty sock. So it's kind of like doubling its power. I find that very captivating. Probably the thing I say to almost every client, but my favorite sock spell is just tie one of your socks around one of their socks and put it under your bed. That to me is the, in terms of both keeping a person at home and bringing a person home to you, is one of the simplest and I think most powerful reconciliation spells, love spells for permanence to hold people together.
I think this is the most famous one, and there are some pictures, I think, even at the AIR website of socks tied together. It's famous. It's great. What you do with the tied together socks can vary from one root worker to another. Some people will bury it in the backyard. That is the most common way. Some people will take the two socks and use them to make two sock dolls, and then sew the sock dolls together hand-to-hand, foot-to-foot, and head-to-head. So they've actually made doll babies and socks at the same time.
Yeah. I think an equivalent, maybe not, but in my head, an equivalent tragedy to losing the informant book I have tons of his socks. I washed them all. Like, oh my God, it's so great that you're on top of that, but damn, if only it were dirty, because the point is that this is a personal concern. This is something that has been worn. The sweat of the foot is, in the sock, and that makes it something tied to him. And of course, in rituals like we use, that tying of the sock or the foot track is about where the person walks to. And either it is to bring them by foot back home, or it's oftentimes also used to throw them into a river and send them on their way, or to do a burial of them and put a death curse on them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The sock is just a wonderful symbol. It's a wonderful tie. It's a wonderful personal concern, and it's used in just a huge variety of ways. So that's my.
Can I give you one with the sock?
Oh yes, I would love a bunch.
Okay, so this is an example of the kind of spells that Harry Hyatt collected. This one is a sock for stay-at-home spell. In February of 1940 in Algiers, Louisiana, Hyatt met up with someone that they called in.
I guess this is one of the one I was planning to do, but that's fine. I have two.
Oh, okay. Is this the one with the pins and needles?
Spells for later.
What?
Yeah, it's the Algiers.
All right, then I'll skip that one. I'll skip that one. Sorry. I'll go on to the next one. Okay. Hey, there's a million of them. In New Orleans, he met informant number 1574. And this person told him two variations on a love-binding spell with a sock. I think it was a woman from the way that they spoke, but it could have been a man. We don't know. But I'm going to say she. She said, if a woman has got a man and she don't want him to leave her, she takes one of his dirty socks and she ties it up in a knot, and she keeps that sock tied there for 15 days. Now, that's about half of a lunar cycle or half of a menstrual cycle. She doesn't say when she starts and when she stops. A lot of times people would leave that sort of stuff out, and you really have to, as a root worker figure, it's not counting 15 days. It's counting from something to something, right? I would guess if it was a lunar cycle, she's counting the growing moon up to the full moon. If it's a menstrual cycle, she's counting from her halfway ovulation point to when she menstruates. Just guessing, but that's how I would do it if it were me. She doesn't go into any more detail, and some of these spells are fragmentary because then she goes on to give another spell. She says, wherever he be, he's got to come back to her. He can't leave her. But if he done left her already, he's coming back after she have that sock. If she takes a string and she wears that sock round her waist for 9 days with 9 knots in it, he can't have nobody else. In other words, now nobody else will have sex with him and he'll come home. Mm-hmm. See, all of that is in the way of hoodooing somebody to keep him from doing right. And she's making a little joke there. She says, keep him from doing right, doing what's in their right mind, edgy, a little wrong. But here is a different spell, and she's giving both of them the one with the 9 knots tied in this sock and wearing it tied on a string around her waist for 9 days comes out of a much different African tradition of the number 9. So you can't, this person is given two entirely different spells, but given them equal value. One for to keep someone at home, one to bring them back if they're already gone. And the 9 days that they have to come back because no one else will ever go with them is under the presumption that everyone who's male will want to have sex at a certain interval, and if nobody will have sex with him, he'll come back home for a booty call. So that's that spell. Let's bring JD in. Do you have one with socks or washcloths?
Yeah, one of my favorite kind of keep them at home spells is using a railroad spike, using, you could use a washcloth, you could use socks, and a tree. And you tie the washcloth or socks around the railroad spike, and then you drive it in the ground at the roots of the tree, and you pray asking the roots of the tree to grow around the underwear and to hold that person down to keep them at home. So it's particularly good for people who are like catcalling or go out a lot and you want to keep your man or woman home.
This is really cool because I'm going to throw another one in. This is so similar but different from a curse with a sock that Harry Hyatt received in February 1940 in New Orleans, and it's very unusual. This person, who was informant number 1569, said, you can take a person's stockings and take toad frog dust. So let's just stop. What's toad frog dust? This is where you find a dead toad frog. Now, what's a toad frog? A toad frog could either be a toad or a frog, but usually it means a toad. And toads are called in the South toad frogs, and frogs are called frogs. So this we would, in standard English is called this toad dust. Okay, you grind it up to powder, and that toad dust is used. It can be used at things like gopher dust, for instance. But here we just have the toad frog dust. Take a person's stockings and take toad frog dust and wrap it up in the socks and bury it in the root of a tree, a young tree, while it's yet growing. And in a few years, they'll pass away. They're dead. That root, cover it up and smother it so it can't get no air. They're gone. So here, by adding something wicked to the socks buried at the root of the tree, instead of holding them down, you're actually burying and killing them.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Okay. Take a turn, somebody.
Well, I found a few that are fun in terms of keeping, and this again is keeping menfolk, but you know it's gender neutral, but keeping a man asleep. So if your man's gone to sleep, you can take one of their socks from their dirty socks from the right foot, and you hang it over the head of the bed, and if he's sleeping, he'll sleep until you come back. So it's a way to keep him knocked out, you know, while you run off and do something else. Same idea was done with, could be done with a woman's stocking. So that one, that was $13.96 from Fayetteville, North Carolina, informant.
I like to know that.
Yeah, a very similar one from Brunswick, Georgia, informant 1175. It uses her stocking with three knots tied in it, and then that's laid across his neck. And that will keep him sleeping while you go out and do whatever you want. So those are kind of fun in terms of
Those are interesting. And I'll tell you, both Newbell Niles Puckett and Harry Hyatt, and also the various contributors to the Southern Workman, which was published by the Hampton Institute, also mentioned a woman putting her nightgown that's worn, in other words, that have her scent on it,
yeah,
over a man, and that he would stay asleep, too. That's just sort of an interesting other. I'm fascinated by these sleeping spells because you don't think of them as being something, you know, but there are people, you know, they want to go out and drink, they want to go out and party, and they want that person to stay asleep while they're away. So that's a good one. I'm going to throw in another one, which comes from Newbell Niles Puckett. Now, I need to explain who he is. Newbell Niles Puckett was a white guy who was working on his PhD thesis and eventually got it. And his PhD thesis was published in 1926. He worked on it during 1925. And it is called Folk Beliefs of the Southern Negro. And unfortunately, for all of us who would like to love him the way we love Harry Hyatt, Newbell Niles Puckett was not a very lovable man. He was a racist, and he had been raised in a family that had been a slave-owning family and still had black, I would call them servants who were not, you know, sharecroppers and people who were not really being treated very nicely. He mostly actually interviewed people that were connected somehow or another with his own family. But he also did good academic research, I'm sure because his thesis advisor told him, to look through other books of folklore and to compare what he found among the American black people that he was interviewing with older books, even going back to the early 1800s, of the folklore of England and of Africa. And one of the things that Puckett said, which is not popular nowadays but seems to be true, is that there is sort of an underneath all of the African parts of African-American folklore, there is also sort of a common ground of English folklore. And you'll see this because the people who were brought over as slaves, their families were broken up. Children were sold to new families when they were just young and didn't really learn the whole family's folklore. So a lot of English style and European-style folklore entered into hoodoo, which is why it's not purely African folk magic. So one of the things that he said, and this is sort of kind of explains the overlap, he said that he found an informant. Now, he didn't lose his number of books. So this is his informant number 241. And this is a man named Hauser A. Miller. And he lived in the town of Fort Valley, Georgia. And this would have been in 1925. And he said that if a person has hysterics or a very bad cold, you can cure the cold by pulling off the stockings. And let's say you have hysterics or you have a cold, anxiety attack, whatever you want to call it. Pull off your stockings and smell them. And then run your fingers in between all of your toes, one by one, and you'll be cured. And he put that this was probably of European origin because it's found among the Pennsylvania Germans, and he found it in a book by E.M. Fogel called Beliefs and Superstitions of the Pennsylvania Germans, which is a very old book from the early 1900s. It's very similar to other German, Swedish, and Norwegian spells in which messing around with the feet, with onions, with something strong smelling, turning your socks inside out, putting your socks on your chest, there's always some kind of connection between the feet and the cold. So there we go. But that had become part of Georgia black folklore by the time Newbell Nice Puckett found it. How about you, J.D.? You want to throw out another one?
Yeah. When we were talking about the pantyhose, you reminded me of one about using a woman could use her dirty pantyhose to brew a coffee or a tea for her man through the pantyhose. And then that served that as a drink in order to captivate him in a love manner.
That's right. And the pantyhose can also be used to strain canned tomatoes to make, tomato sauce.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And I'm going to use it too, but it's probably easier with tights.
Good. And I hope that you all are making notes of these because we're talking pretty fast. So we're hoping that Nagashiva and some of the people in chat, we've got 15 people in the chat. How about you all pitch in and just make a couple of notes on some of these so we can find them by timestamp when people want to listen to the show. Okay? That would be real helpful.
Miss Kat, you mentioned earlier, too, about tying socks together as doll babies. I've seen people also take the sock, stuff it with herbs, roll it up, and stuff it inside of a doll baby, too.
That's right. That's right. And, in fact, there are a lot of ones where you would stuff the sock. We're going to get to that one later. Now, I'm going to tell you another one, which is really complex as far as the background of hoodoo being African, being Native American, being European. In many cultures, the hooting of an owl is believed to be a foreteller of either bad luck or death, depending on how committed you are to going down that rabbit hole of what owls represent, silent death. So among the people whom Newbell Niles Puckett interviewed, he got pages and pages of owl spells. But most of them were concerned with how to stop an owl from hooting or how to make peace with it once it has hooted so that nobody dies out the house, so that you don't get sick, so you don't have bad luck. And there were many, many ways to avert the terror of the owl having hooted, including whether it hoots on your right side or your left side or if it's coming at you. These were all parts of this very complex cluster of beliefs around owls. But one of them was around socks. And it was very simple. This was a person, informant number 275. He didn't get the name. This was at Piney Woods Country Life School in Piney Woods, Mississippi. And he was basically interviewing everybody in this school. And that would presumably be kids. And so somebody, number 175, told him to stop the hooting of an owl, turn your socks inside out. Now, the turning of the socks or the pockets inside out to avert bad luck is European, but the fear of the hooting of the owl causing death is more Native American and African American. So they've been combined in this spell in a very interesting way. And this kind of goes to some of the ideas of using rags and cloths that Doc Murphy had mentioned in a workshop that she did. And I know she's here in the chat. And they were called clooties. These were cloths. And they could be rags. But here it is, the socks on the feet again. And the idea that this will avert badness by turning it inside out. All right, who goes next?
Well, I love that reversing idea. And we do see it a lot in different sock pieces, this turned inside out. But for some reason, it hadn't, as a reversing technique, of course it is. It makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I wanted to mention is the idea of sock water. Which is to me, in my mind, really weird, but makes sense. And I suppose you could do it with the washcloth too, that you rinse out the dirty sock and that the water then is your personal concern that can be used to influence the other person. So there are a bunch of ones with having a little bottle of this sock water and then what to do with it. And naturally, the one I like most is you put sugar and cinnamon in there, and you shake and call their name three times, and then you put it in the corner to bring them back, because anything with sugar and cinnamon in it is right up my alley. But I like that idea. And there are some others. There's one here that has you mixing the sock water with rainwater and some sugar and Epsom salts, and then burning incense, lump incense on the stove, and doing this for 9 days to bring, calling the man's name and doing this 3 days or 9 days until he returns. A different way to use the sock or the washcloth, but without, taking the concern from it in liquid form and using that instead.
Yeah, see, and this is interesting. Again, we hit the 9 days to return the man. You see how these
mm-hmm.
things sort of, they parallel. This is one
yeah.
way you can tell actual, factual, authentic folklore from some of the cheap junk they make up on the internet, because they don't get that. They'll throw in 9 days, but it'll be for some other purpose. Or they'll, they'll say 13 days or whatever. They'll go on some other tear, and they don't understand that these follow certain patterns. I'm not going to call them rules. They aren't rules, but there are certain patterns. Like when you're going to make bread, you're almost always going to use, flour and yeast and water. It's like
right.
you don't make bread out of sawdust, or you shouldn't. So some of these spells that we see that are just thrown out onto the internet can be off and sound off because they're missing those little beat tones that we know go with an old authentic hoodoo spell. I'm going to put another one out here. This one is another one that has a certain beat tone to it. This is from Nobel Niles Puckett, and it's from informant number 401, which is his informant. They all numbered their informants, so these are different numbering series here. And this was a man named Richard Williams, and he lived in Thomasville, Georgia. And he said, "It is bad luck to leave wash rags or wash clothes hanging on your fence or clothesline on New Year's Eve." Now, you might just go, well, that's just sort of arbitrary, but it's not. It's part of a much larger cluster of things to do getting ready for New Year's Eve, like that the house must be swept out. This is a man, you'll notice here. He's not going to be sweeping the house and mopping the floors and all of that. He's going to leave that to his woman. This was a gendered society at that time. But I'll bet you his wife told, don't you leave your washcloth on the line before New Year's, right, on New Year's Eve. You better bring that thing in here right now. And he goes, that's bad luck. But he doesn't know the whole form of the entire cleaning the house before New Year's Eve. So interesting. And this is how sometimes you'll see that different people will relate a spell differently depending on where it stands in relation to who did the laundry in the family.
Right.
Right. All right. How about you, JD? You want to throw one in?
Yeah, I was just thinking about, when foot track, we'll talk about rolling the dirt from heel to toe or toe to heel for the purpose of the work. And the same thing you can do with socks when you collect one. If you want to send someone away, you can roll it away from you. And then what a powerful tool it is to add to like a hot foot wash and then to throw that in running water. I'm just thinking how you can use the personal concern in those ways and using that representation of in the work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So rolling away versus rolling towards you. Like if you are doing this for love work, you know, you want to roll it towards you versus if you're trying to affect.
I've used that spell and it has worked for me. So that one is proved and tested by me. It doesn't work for everybody. I've taught it to people, and I've even have people actually on the phone with me saying, okay, now what do I do? I've got the socks now. What do I do? I say, well, now you're going to kneel by the bed, and I want you to, like you were like grinding corn on a metate, right? And you're going to roll that sock out, and you're going to roll it back, and then throw it out, you know, just unroll it, fling it, roll it back. And every time you do it, say, come back to me. And they're going, okay, I think I got it. And then they go, oh, he's back, right while I'm on the phone with him.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, and it's happened more than once. And I've also had people call me up afterwards and say, my God, he did. He came back that night. So that one is really proven and tested by many women. I've given it to men to do and see if it works for them. It might. They aren't so eager to call back and tell me what worked or not. Women like to share the news, the good news, with their reader. I'm going to give you another one, washcloth. So when you wash your face and hands in a basin, now we're talking about an old-fashioned wash basin here. Most people, especially most Black people, even most people in the South, whether Black or white, did not have running water in their houses until World War II era. That's when it began to be everywhere. And even now some don't, but that mostly through living out too far out in the countryside. So this is a wash basin. So if you don't know what a wash basin is, you ought to look it up. These are often porcelain, and they would have a wash pitcher that would go in them. It sits in them. It's tall for the water. So you go outside to where your pump is. You pump the water. And you can put it in a pot, warm it up, then you pour it back into the pitcher, and you bring the pitcher and the wash basin into the bedroom or into, because you don't have an indoor bathroom. So the bathroom, the toilet is done out in the outhouse, and the toiletry, which is the cleansing and preparing yourself for the day, is done usually in the bathroom. And so you would have this wash basin and pitcher, and they would be on a nightstand. So when they say basin, that's what they're talking about. They don't mean a lavatory basin with a stopper and hot water running in it. So you have this basin, and I find that there is a difference in that the contained water, not just letting the water run and wash your face in a basin, that's not what we're talking about. If you put the plug in, maybe, but it doesn't have the same completion as that porcelain wash basin. You can buy them on eBay, used. They still make them, actually. Washing your face and hands before going to bed and leaving them undried will give you a dream of the one you will marry. So in what they mean is now you're going to be taking a washcloth, you're going to wash your face and hands, and especially your eyes. You're going to wring out that washcloth. You're going to hang it up, of course, and then you're going to go to bed. Don't dry your hands or face. Now, some people said, well, you can also, if you want to, you can put something under the pillow or whatever, but that's sufficient. This will allow you to dream of the one you will marry. Now, the person who gave this spell to Dumel Niles Puckett was his informant number 341, and this was somebody that he talked to at the Southland Institute in Southland, Arkansas. So this would have been an educational, but not exactly what we would call a college, but it would be on the way to becoming a college, segregated for black people only. And some of these institutes later went on to become, you know, part of Tuskegee or part of Hampton University in later years. But he would talk to people at these places. So this person said to gave a spell about dreaming of the one you will marry. Now, again, we go to how African is this? The answer is not very. Spells for the one you will marry are a characteristic of Germanic, Scandinavian, English, and Scottish and Irish folklore. Dreaming of the one you will marry could fill whole entire books just of that. But this one black and not white is that you're washing your hands and face and leaving them undried. Because that is found in many bathing spells among black Americans, that you air dry, right? Mm-hmm. So this is an adaptation of an English spell into an African-American way of working. And it only would have been popular in black culture after the end of slavery because slaves could not pick who they were to marry. And so the idea of having a woman having the freedom to pick who they will marry kind of comes along with that post-Civil War era. So there you go. Somebody jump in.
Well, I'll throw in some more on the idea of sock water here. One simple love spell to bring two people together is to mix one's sock water with the chamber lye of the other, which would be the urine of the other person. You have the sock water of someone, you added your own urine to the bottle. So it's a little container spell using those two items. Another similar one is to take the sock water and add alcohol to it, or to put the sock itself in whiskey and then have the other person drink it. So, and this would be more of a men's version of a menstrual blood spell. The idea of if you feed your personal concerns to the one you love, they will love you back. So sock whiskey, your dirty socks rinsed in whiskey and fed to the one you want is another version of that.
Yeah, exactly. I'll drink your bath water, baby.
Mm-hmm. I was going to share a little darker one I know of. Instead of love and work, but how to like maim or kill someone or negative work, where you take the dirty sock or dirty washcloth from a person that you're working against and five graveyard nails or go to a graveyard and you pick a tree and you nail it to the tree facing the west. Put one in each corner and one in the center, and as the sock or washcloth slowly withers away and it finally falls off of the tree, then the person will eventually die.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. And this is part of a whole form that we call withering away or goofering away or pining away, wasting away. These spells that depend on part of the spell material rotting or decaying. Fantastic spell. That's a really good one. I'm going to jump to another one. And this is from Nobel Niles Puckett. And this is very fast. This is fascinating. I really like this one. So this is from informant number 57 of Nobel Niles Puckett. His name was Matthew Butler, and he lived in Columbus, Mississippi. This is again around 1925. And he said, if you wash your hands in the same basin of water or with the same wash rag as another person, you will have a quarrel with them. To prevent this, draw a cross mark over the water and spit over it. So this is pretty wild. So to draw a cross mark over the water means with your hands in the air. This is totally African, 100% African. And then to spit, draw a cross mark and spit. Now, you're not spitting into the water. You're spitting over it. So you're making a forceful spit to the other side of the basin. You're crossing over. It's like some of those spells around not splitting a pole if you're walking with a friend, right? Now, he got this from Matthew Butler, but he also looked it up. And Matthew Butler was in Columbus, Mississippi. But Puckett, being an academic, looked it up in the Journal of American Folklore from 1892. And someone named C, the initial C, Lee, wrote an article called Some Negro Lore from Baltimore in Volume 5 of the Journal of American Folklore, and had the exact same thing, that you had to draw a cross mark over it, that you had to spit over it, that if two people use the same wash rag or the same in the same basin of water, that they will quarrel and fall out. Then he found another academic reference to this, and it was another way to remove the bad luck rather than drawing a cross over it, was to say out loud, wash together, friends forever. Now, that's more English, isn't it? Wash together, friends forever. And then, you know, like when you used to split poles, did you ever say things, little sentences like that? You know, like, oh, my God, we used to say bread and butter, salt and pepper, appetite? Okay. Wash together, friends forever. But even then, if the two friends dry themselves on the same towel, at the same time, their friendship will be broken. I mean, it only goes so far, right? And this was he got from a guy named G. Williamson, who had written an article for the Journal of American Folklore, Volume 18, in 1905. And the name of the article was Superstitions from Louisiana. So now we see this all tracing from Baltimore, Mississippi, Louisiana, this whole cluster of ideas in their variations, some more African, some more English, but there they are all together. This is what makes folklore so fascinating, the idea that you will see regionality. This is why I go crazy when people on the Lucky Mojo forum said, but what's the right way to do it, Kat?
Right.
There is a right way and another right way and another right way and about 10 other right ways to do it, and they are regional. They have a history. So here we have the basic idea, don't share the basin of water, don't share the wash rag, don't share the towel, or you'll have trouble with your friend. But there are ways to avert the danger and difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Kat, just okay. To add, just a thought, like, too, we've been talking about using dirty items this whole time, but you can also use spiritual practice like bath water to influence things. For example, you can, if you are at a home, you can take the towels for the family and wash them in a happy home bath wash and purposely influence the family then to be happy or use it in a more positive way as well, right? So there's also ways of, you know, if you have trouble sleeping, you can add tranquility bath water wash to your bath. Or if you want to influence a man to love you, take a bath and take a cup of that bath wash and pour it into the rinse cycle. So when he sleeps in the bed, he constantly thinks of you. Or you could do that with his towels, so as he washes with them. So just another layer to add.
Yeah. Tranquility is a great one. Peaceful home bath crystals find a lot of use there. And while we're talking about doing the washcloths and socks, we can also talk about the bed linens and pillowcases. Just saying, those also would be good to launder that way. Those are wonderful ways to work. And you'll find a lot more about that kind of working in some of the books that Aura LaForest wrote, Hoodoo Spiritual Baths and Women's Work. And those talk a lot about ways to prepare things before things get out of hand. You prepare things by laundering them or making a tea with peaceful herbs or with money herbs or so forth. For instance, we talked about socks being used to as part of an extension of foot track magic. And I found a long time ago, I was always told, you know, put a dime, drill a hole in a dime, tie it around your ankle. I was told, put a dime in the toe of your shoe. These are, you know, so you'll always be walking toward money. Around the ankle is to protect yourself. But other people told me to put the dime and then put your sock on. So the dime won't be kicking around in your shoe. It's in your sock. And that's just another way to walk toward money. So sometimes the preparation of socks does border on foot track magic. Washing the socks with, money-drawing herbs or with bath crystals that are money attractive, and then putting a dime, it should be a silver dime, by the way, not just a clad stupid dime, fake dime. And you're going to put your sock around that and wear it. And usually you would wear that in your dominant shoe foot. If you're right-footed, it'll go on your right foot. If you're left-footed, it'll go on your left foot.
Nice.
All right. Any others?
I'll give a nasty one. Since I want JD having all the fun here. One to make someone either go, an enemy either go crazy or become ill, is to take a bottle of war water and put their dirty socks inside of that bottle. And keep that together on them. And that will lead to illness or anything.
Yow, that's mean.
Really is a mean one.
I'll throw in another one from Puckett. This was interesting because he was really trying to deal with the older layers of material. He knew these older books, you know, that had been collected, especially the stuff collected at the Hampton Institute by African-American folklorists, people like Bacon, who was a prolific folklorist there. But he was interested in how things had changed. By 1925, you know, he was living in what was then the modern world. And he called this a 20th century application of the moving motif. Now, this is in a long chapter where he's talking about moving people away. So throwing things in a river, for instance, putting a person's sock in war water and throwing the bottle in the river would be a moving type of spell. So he says, a further 20th century application of the moving motif consists of impelling a person to move by tying one of his stockings to a freight train. And this he learned from informant number 252, Vivian Mitchell of Thomasville, Georgia. And there we end our spell. Thank you, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
We could have gone on for hours. So let's turn this over to our announcer.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now let's go to the phone and talk to today's client. Our client is Natalie, calling from area code 202 in Washington, D.C. Natalie, are you there?
I am.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you indicated that you've had no reading on this particular situation with any other readers. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, fantastic. And she writes, I'd like to know if there are any other blocks to my ultimate financial success this year, how to remove them, if there are any blocks, and what to do to bring financial success and put me on the path to financial fulfillment, be it through a job, the lottery, or starting my own business. Thanks in advance. Turning it over to you, Miss Kat.
All right. Well, you're going to get two readings, so I'm going to have you have your first reading with JD, and then your second reading will be with Deacon Millett. All right?
Yes.
So
okay.
Take it away, JD.
Great. Thank you, Miss Kat. Hi, and welcome. Glad to read for you today. I'm using the pulp deck, which is pulp art, so it's slightly different. So to answer your question, the first card I pulled was the Seven of Cups. And in this deck, this is the person who's looking at all of these worldly goods and worldly deeds of things that they want and that they are seeking out. This tells me that you have visions of the things that you want and you are seeking and desire, but you have not put forth the actual effort in order to do those things, in order to make those things a reality. So it's more mental than it is physical right now for you. The second card I pulled was the Eight of Wands. And in this deck, these wands are kind of coming in at a family that is enjoying a 1970s beautiful Aurora home. This is the idea of ultimately, if you want these things, that it's time for you to start doing the movement. You need to start putting energy into the things that you want in order to make that dream manifest and happen. It's time for you to move from the mental into the physical aspect of the work. At this time, it's all mind, not physical. And the third card was the World. And if you actually start doing that, I believe, and in this case, the World is all the opportunities that you have before you that would be opportune for you for success. And to follow up, I wanted to see what else you should be doing, and I pulled the Eight of Pentacles, and this is the person who is kind of creating a plan and moving forward with that plan. So this combined tells me that it's time for you to start planning and to ultimately to physically start doing. So in order for you to move forward, you need to get more out of your mind and more into the physical world.
All right. Well, that's a very interesting thing. I'm interested in that pulp deck. I'm going to have to go look that up. I've never seen it.
It's beautiful.
So is it pretty?
Yeah, you will like it. It's pretty cool.
Okay, great. All right. Well, that was a short and sharp reading by JD. So let's see if Deacon Millett can take it away.
All right. My readings are usually also short, so let's see what we can get here. I think today I'm going to go ahead and pull that card if I have not. And that'll give me the chance to look deeper into this for you. The first card, I'm using the Secret Dakini Oracle deck, which is a collage deck that's a little different from normal tarot. The first card is Dangerous Pussy, the Past. And this is a card about baggage from the past that may mess you up. If you are holding on to fears about your finances based on how things have gone in the past, it may be wise to let go of those. But if there have been ways you tried to make money in the past and failed, you should have learned those lessons and leave those behind. Does that make sense? So don't return to bad habits in an attempt to make money, but also don't fear that you're always going to be stuck, because this card can really mess with your head. The second card I pull here is Slay the Ego. And this says something similar. Don't let your self-esteem get involved in this process. Don't hang on to ideas that aren't working just because they're your ideas and damn it, I'm not going to let, you know, they've got to work. At the same time, don't do the flip side of that coin, which is enabling your whole sense of self-esteem to be destroyed by one failure. So this card just says, you know what, get the ego out of it. Look to your bottom line, look to the dollar signs, and stick with the path that guides you to the most of them. But the third card that I pull here is Mother's Milk. And this card shows a woman's breast, and out of it is flowing the Milky Way. This would point you toward something nurturing. So maybe it's in the health field of some kind, maybe it's with children, but in some way you are going to nurture others in this job. And I guess it's a job because it's feeling like a job that will start you on the path to financial well-being here. Next card, because I am going to pull just a few extras for her here, is Magic Carpet. This is a card of travel and motion. Don't necessarily let the boundaries of the real world impinge on your ability to find this money. It may be in another country. It may be on the other side of the world. So feel like you can travel here. And I think I'll stop with this last card, a fifth card, which is Wave of Bliss. And this shows two waves crashing together and becoming one. And, you know, it's just such a call to John Campbell's idea of follow your bliss. Look to something that truly inspires you and gets your heart racing. And these cards say that will point you in the right direction. So I hope that's helpful in some way.
Good. All right. Well, thank you both. Natalie's first question was how to get on the path to financial fulfillment, be it through a job, lottery, or starting my own business. And lottery did not appear in any of these cards. Job was something that was found in both readings, and or possibly starting your own business. But first of all, what I want you to do, Natalie, is take a piece of paper and write down three columns, right? One would be job. Well, let's just start with lottery. Lottery, job, starting your own business. What can you do to win the lottery? Talk about magic, because it's a magic spell show. But I'm not going to go there, but you know some lottery spells. You can look up, for instance, Ms. Robin's gambling spell. Try that spell. I don't think it's going to get you anywhere, because I don't think the cards showed that you're going to win the lottery. The next one is a job. And the third one is starting your own business. So I'm going to give you two spells, real quick ones, one for success on a job, and the other one is for starting your own business. So for success on the job, one of the best things to do is to use some representation of the job. So first I'm going to ask, do you have a job that you need a promotion at, or are you unemployed and need a job?
The latter, unemployed.
Unemployed. All right. So now you're going to have to start sending out applications. Now, this kind of goes to that card, the Eight of Pentacles with all the little coins on it. I want you to get the logos of at least eight companies, at least eight. And I want you to cut them out, and I want you to put around them some you know, money drawing herb mixture. We make a good money drawing herb mixture. You can look at Hoodoo at a glance and find a whole bunch of money herbs and mix them together, whatever you like. If you have nothing else, just use pumpkin. But you want to get some money drawing herbs and draw around these logos. So you're going to put up 8 of them, right? And a little circle around each one. If the logos are circular, if they're square, still cut them as a circle with the logo in the middle. On top of each one of them, you're going to put a star candle holder and light a candle. You can dress those candles with steady work oil. You're going to give out your resume to these different companies. Each resume is also going to go under the logo and where you sent it to, probably be electronic, so you have to print it out. Dress your candles with the steady work or and maybe some money drawing oil and pray over them all. But I want you to use small candles, like birthday candles or 4-inch candles. I want you to at least be able to check. You don't have to sit there for 6 hours or something watching them burn, but check in with them. Look which ones burn fastest, which ones go out, which ones burn with smoky puffs coming off. You're going to be able to tell at the end, do some of them weep a little tears and run away? Do some of them burn clean? Watch them, because you're going to be able to narrow it down. Then you're going to go on to round two. You're going to pick, the top three. You're going to do them again. And you're just going to keep going, but you have to send out those applications. You have to do your part. That's the job getting. Now we're going to talk about starting your own business. In the column for starting your own business, I want you to think about what kind of a business you want. Do you have a business in mind?
Yes, I do.
All right. I'm going to just ask, is it manufacturing, trading, or a service?
A service.
A service.
Reading.
Doing card reading. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Card reading. Okay. Well, that makes it much easier. Now you're going to take your cards, whatever kind of cards you use, and you're going to lay out a really good money spread. And, you know, if you use a Celtic cross, you're going to lay out a Celtic cross. If you use a three-card cut, you're going to fan those three cards. Whatever it is, your cards. You're going to, first of all, before you do that, I want you to get some money drawing powder and some Crucible of Courage powder, because I think the only thing that's keeping you from starting a business as a reader is courage, lacking courage. So dust your cards on all four edges with those mixed-up powders and flick the cards. And then you can either cut three cards, but wait till you get a good cut, or you can select three cards that are good cards for drawing in money. One of them should be that Eight of Pentacles. I want you to, every candle you burn with these cards in front of them, I want you to put down a coin. And it should be a good coin, too, not some cheap junk Cupro nickel penny. I mean, a real nice Sacagawea dollar or something. Morgan dollar would be even better. And you put down that coin, and I want you to accumulate those coins for a while. And I want you to, while you're doing that, do it for at least, let's say, 7 go-rounds, 7 days, or maybe 8, because you got the Eight of Pentacles. And then I want you to be designing your business card. And do you have a business card?
Yes, I do.
You do? And you've already had it printed?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, well, then you're way ahead of the game. Dust all your business cards with the powders, and you're fine. Okay, put down your business card along with your tarot cards. And I want you to do this for several days. Like I said, 8 days would be good. Light those candles and just focus on getting people to come to you, to love you, to want you to read for them. I want you to do this in some place where your light can be seen. For instance, if you have a living room that has a window that looks out onto the street, put the candles on a little end table nearby the window so that at night, they're not going to burn for a long time. These are small candles, birthday candles or little 4-inchers. Let the light be seen from the street. You want to let people see. Don't hide your light under a bushel, like they say. You know, let it be seen. And don't be burning big vigil lights on this. This is small things, but every day I want you to do that. Take baths in some Crucible of Courage and money drawing. And if it's doing psychic readings and card readings, you might want to add a little bit of psychic vision oil or clarity oil to that. Make a blend. But I think that the only thing that's really holding you back is courage and planning to do that business. Now, those two, by the way, the job and the business of your own are not mutually exclusive. You can do both. Many people have two jobs. I do. I'm a card reader, but I also run a metaphysical shop. I know people who are card readers and they're bus drivers. They're card readers and they are nurses. So there are many things you can do and be a card reader. The most important thing to do is to set hours for it. And if you're lighting candles, you might want to start thinking about evening hours. Maybe you'll read in the evenings. Hook yourself up with a reading service or use social media. Instagram, I'm on the phone now. Give me a call. Have a separate phone number for your readings. Do not give away your personal phone number, okay? Is that okay, Natalie? Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
All right. Well, let's see if there's anything else that Deacon wants to add on to this.
No, I think that's a really wonderful start, and it does sound like it fulfills that nurturing for me. I think if when we set out to do anything like reading cards for others, I think it's very good to have prayer in place, to be, you know, really well attuned to God and wanting the best for your clients. And I think that's very you. I feel like that's going to be a really good spiritual/magical practice for you. I do have a feeling that you are gifted for that work. So you may want to look into Psychic Vision products and Master Key products from Lucky Mojo. Those work really well for me.
There's a in the chat, everyone's saying, go, Natalie, go. And Houndon Hearth says, if this is going to be from home, you could use Money House Blessing if you don't set up an office. Which is great. And the idea here is use it as a side hustle. People are saying good luck. And Nagashiva wrote, hook yourself up with a reading service. Consider hoodoo psychics as a possibility. I would love to see that. Now, to get onto hoodoo psychics, you have to have a test reading with Deacon Millett, and you have to have graduated from my course. And we don't need to go there. But that would be a really good way to go, but there are other reading services. You can also do it just through, through your social media. Hound and Hearth is really going at it. Psychicvision.html, masterkey.html, yeah, these are Lucky Mojo pages. Those are things you might want to make a nice master blend for your courage, for your psychic vision, for your reading ability. But also, I do want to see you not be unemployed, because that's going to lead to desperation. And I always recommend to everybody who's a reader, start it as a side hustle. Truth be told, I always say I started reading when I was 18. I was also growing illegal marijuana. In other words, I had a job. But after I got busted for the illegal marijuana, I just went on being a reader. You know, that was it. Just telling you, you need a job to kind of spread your wings from. All right. there's the bumper music. So we're going to have our network identification, and then we're going to have Deacon Millett with the free spell. So let's go.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Some quick announcements about those upcoming shows on the LMC Radio Network. Monday, April 22nd at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Mystics and Mages and Magical Places with Reverend Art and myself will be Deb Voith with the topic of Mediumship Part 2. And Tuesday, April 23rd on the Crystal Silence League and Syndication will be The Power of Spirit Part 4. And Tuesday, April 23rd on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron and Syndication with Miss Elvira and Phoenix Lethay will be the topic of Money Magic. And Wednesday, April 24th on the Now You Know show in syndication with Professor Porterfield will be the topic of The Books of Moses and Eucalyptus. And Thursday, April 25th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Miss Elvira and Deborah Voith will be the topic The Fae, Court Jesters of Nature and Mythical Creatures, Friend or Foe. And now it's time for our free spell segment from our special guest, Deacon Millett of FourAltars.com in the high desert of California. Take it away, Deacon Millett.
Thanks. So I've chosen two different sock spells from Hyatt, and both of them on the topic of keeping a person at home. So these are how to keep your partner or a loved one from straying. So the first one, you take the person's dirty sock and you put sugar and cinnamon inside the sock. Then you fold the sock toward yourself, and then taking 9 needles and 9 pins, you pin them through the sock. After that, you're going to take 3 tacks, and you're going to nail the sock either at the base of the front door, or you'll take up a brick from your fireplace and place it underneath the brick and hide it there. This is one version from Algiers from Informant 1584. The second version is really strange. It is from Informant 1561 across the river in New Orleans. And this one has a lot of resonance with a break apart spell. In this one, you cut a lemon in half and you sprinkle sugar, cayenne pepper, and cinnamon on the lemon halves on the inside. You take a petition paper and you write the person's name 9 times on this paper. This is the person you want to stay home. You place it between the halves of the lemon, and then you close the lemon up using 9 gold eye needles. And then lastly, you place it into the person's sock, and you keep that. And as long as you keep that, it will stop them from gambling or from running around with anybody. So those were the two stay-at-home classics I wanted to share in the sock realm, and I hope you guys will have some good additions to go with them.
Those are both super cool, great spells. The first one, I think, may need a little explanation. What it means to fold the sock means you're not going to stuff this sock with cinnamon and sugar. Just put in, you know, a bunch, a little bit, flat little packet, and then, but not up at the leg end of it, just down in the toe type part. And then you're going to fold this sock over, and pinning it with the 9 needles and 9 pins, you're going to go in and out with each pin and each needle. The idea is to make a flat packet. And ultimately, when you fold it, if you think it's supposed to fit in where a brick would be removed from the hearth, so it's not going to be L-shaped anymore. It's going to be folded over and then folded again, make it a nice little rectangular packet, and then you're going to pin it with the 9 pins and the 9 needles. I'm kind of a neat freak. I think I do all 9 pins in one direction and all 9 needles in the other, but that's just me. You know, if it's a rectangle, you got the pins going the short way, the needles going the long way. I mean, I plan my spells out. And when I see a spell like this, it's in one of Harry Hyatt's books, you have to start filling in the blanks. So that's how I would do it. And then the taking up of the brick. You take up the brick and you dig out the mortar, and you're going to put it under, and then you're going to replace the brick. This is really, really old, old, old hoodoo. Bricks that have been fitted with spells underneath them are found all throughout the eastern seaboard. Maryland is rife with them. People are restoring old houses, and they go and pull up the bricks. Oh, my God, there's a John the Conqueror root underneath, or whatever it may be. Oh, well, look, there's a bottle of urine underneath. There are many spells that are done that way. Why are they done at the hearth? First of all, that's a woman's spell because she controls the hearth. Second, it's a heating spell. The cinnamon and sugar, cinnamon heats up a love spell. So this is, it's just going to keep it nice and warm and keep that person warm. As the old song by Leadbelly says, you know, come back to your wife and children, sit down by the fireside bright, song called Irene Goodnight. And so this is a song that calls to that. Oh, and I should have mentioned, and by the way, Leadbelly, the singer, was from Louisiana. So this is that kind of a spell, Louisiana-type spell. Wonderful spell. So thank you for that one, Deacon Millett. That's really, really good. The other one is really strange, as you said.
Right.
Lemon, lemon and red pepper, those are usually hot. And then cinnamon and sugar, was that the other part?
Yes.
So this is a pretty hard-hitting piece.
Yeah.
And what was the outcome for this? It was supposed to keep them at home and what? Stop them
from? Keep them from gambling.
Right. And, okay.
And it did have the caveat that if they didn't stay home, that they would die.
Oh, boy. So this is both the carrot and the stick together. What a great old spell that is. And again, the 9 gold eye needles. So just remember the number 9, so important in hoodoo. All right, Dickie Millett, that was great. And thank you, too, JD, for announcing. We're going to have the end announcements. Yeah, we're going to have, speaking of announcing, we're going to have James do the end announcements. But I want to say that JD is being promoted from part-time to full-time. He's going to be our guest next week, and we're going to be talking more about Harry Hyatt and folklore spells. So take it away, James.
Thank you, Ms. Kat and JD, and thank you, Deacon Millett of fouraltars.com in the high desert of California for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when we will have JD of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, bringing us the topic of hoodoo folklorists. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and JD at HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thank you so much, Reverend James. And JD, I'm really looking forward to having you. And we're going to talk more about Harry Hyatt and Newbell Niles Puckett and Hampton Institute and the Journal of American Folklore and all that good stuff. So come back next week, folks, for more of this.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be great. So I have nothing else to announce, just other than that things are going along pretty well here. And we hope to see you all at the Lucky Mojo Forum. I constantly get messages via Facebook and Instagram. Can you help me with this, that, or the other? And I always have to tell people, I have a little form letter, please come to the Lucky Mojo Forum. At the forum, you'll meet me and JD and Deacon Millett and Nagashiva and many other members of AIR, but us four in particular. We will answer your questions. We will tell you where to go to get more information. We'll give you opinions about spells that you think you want to learn. We will really help. So that's it. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.